You're listening to Blind Entrepreneurship, an interview series podcast that highlights the stories of the top business professionals around the world. In each episode, we explore how entrepreneurs overcame blindness in business in order to execute their vision. This podcast is brought to you by Penji. I am your host, Jonathan Grzbowski. Today, we have Pia Larson on the show. Pia is a national thought leader in branding and marketing, and she is the founder and chief imagination officer at Fingerprint Marketing, which is by far one of the coolest titles of any person that I have ever interviewed. Pia is a Seattle native that loves graphic design and has had a way with marketing at a young age. According to her website, she has gone through over 15 cans of Play-Doh, which in all honesty, I think is a far too small of a number. She is totally selling herself short. She has had to have done at least 100 given the amount of creativity that this woman has. She's also visited over 22 countries and has over 25 years of marketing experience. Today's episode is sponsored by Penji. Are you in charge of marketing for your business and need graphic design support? Let Penji design anything you need for your business, from a logo to your marketing materials, sales sheets, social media content, and so much more. Penji helps you achieve more with unlimited graphic design support, daily output, and a dedicated project manager, all at one flat monthly rate. We have an exclusive offer to the Blind Entrepreneur community. Head over to penji.co and use the coupon code BLIND for 15% off your first month. Again, that's penji.co. PENJI.co and use the coupon code BLIND for 15% off your first month of Penji. And now, let's get to today's episode. Pia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan. I'm thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to have you. So before we get into the episode, we have to lay the foundation and to let everybody know why you're the most qualified to talk about stand out from your competition. That's the key word of this conversation. Stand out from your competition. So why are you an expert to talk about this?
Well, I have several reasons. First of all, I've self-named myself the Chief Imagination Officer. So
which is a great name, by the way.
Thank you. It just was inspired 11 years ago. And I just thought it fit me so well. So I kind of am the what if person. So I help you dream about where you can take your business and your brand and get you out of your head and get you away from comparing yourself with competitors so you can dream big. I also have, 12 years in corporate marketing experience as well as 12 years running this agency for small businesses. And my name is Fingerprint, leaving a unique mark on the industry. And it really came about, I was inspired because, well, first of all, I live in Seattle. It's highly competitive for any type of business in Seattle. So, what's a small business to do with limited funds and time and staff? So I just thought, everyone's doing everything, but there's nothing new. But what's new is your personal brand and putting your fingerprint and your mark on your brand, and that's how you're going to stand out. A lot of times people throw around authenticity and tell your story and all that, which is only a part of what I do for clients. So yeah, that makes me all that and a bag of fries.
There you go. Very cool. And Seattle's such an amazing place, and you're right, extremely extremely competitive, I'm sure.
Yeah.
My first question to you really is, what does it mean to have an online presence that has brains, beauty, and brawn? That is directly quoted from your website.
I'm glad you're reading my website. Money well spent.
There you go.
So what it means is there are several pieces to your online presence. And when I say online presence, it all starts with your website. It's your hub, right? It's your 24/7 salesperson. I ask people, what do you want at the door of your website? Do you want the Walmart greeter, which is nice and kind and does his job? Or do you want the Nordstrom shoe salesperson who is just on it and bringing in the leads and closing the business and professional? So that's when I'm thinking about your online presence. I'm thinking about your website first and then your social media presence and then anything else that you put out there, emails. So beauty, obviously, you need a beautiful site. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't, sometimes people have designed their sites too beautiful, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Acting. So it's kind of a fine line. You need something that's clear, concise, but it's a showstopper. I mean, when I work with new prospects, I say, I want you to imagine yourself at 10 o'clock at night. You have a problem that you need to solve. You're doing your browsing. You've got like 50 tabs open. You're looking at all these people. You come to the website and you drop your mouse or your pen or your tablet and you go, holy crap, that's who I want to work with. Mm-hmm. So that's the visceral effect that you need to sustain in your clients so that they stop in their tracks. Then the brains part of it is your voice. Are you selling? How are you selling? How are you walking me through my journey from discovering your brand online to actually signing up for your email list or purchasing something or signing up for a consult? Like what is the step-by-step process? And a lot of people I work with, they don't put a lot of time and energy into this. And this is probably the most important, aside from a beautiful site, right? And aside from setting up your systems, it's the heavy lifting. It's the words on the page, because writing for a website and for social media is very different than normal writing that you would do just every day, you know, writing emails or writing in a journal or writing other stuff. So it's also, how are you converting these people? You've got their attention, and honestly, you have 4 seconds. That's studies have shown that you have about 4 seconds to stop me in my tracks, tell me how I'm going to solve your problem, and then tell me exactly what to do next. So the brawn is the heavy lifting, and it's the, how are we going to walk the client or the prospect into becoming a client or a new lead? The brain is the client journey and the words on the page and the selling. Mm-hmm. The brawn is, okay, how are we going to sustain these clients? How are we going to get them to buy more? You know, and that's through your email marketing, and it's a whole experience. So, it's also, do you show up consistently online on all your channels, or am I scratching my head wondering, is this the same Pia and fingerprint marketing that I saw on her website? I don't know if you've seen this before, but I've seen businesses where they've had several different writers and the writing sounds different on all different channels.
Totally.
Because they've obviously not nailed down what their voice is and what their brand voice is and messaging. So the brawn is basically continuing the story, whether you are talking to prospects and you want to warm them into a relationship or your existing clients who are giving you referrals. So that is the brawn. That's the heavy lifting part to consistently keep your clients motivated to buy.
And I'm curious, you said, you know, and a ton of studies have proven this to be true, the 4 seconds thing. And then you also gave the analogy that that somebody's browsing around 10:30 at night and then they see your stuff and they go, wow, this is what I need. Have you found from your clients and research that a lot of people are able to convert at the very first time that they see you? Or is it more or less a process to get people to trust what you sell?
It's definitely a process, but I will tell you, if you create that emotion in someone that they haven't even spoken to you, they haven't even picked up the phone, they have no commitment to you yet, and they already have a conversation going on in their brain that says, this is the level of person that I want to work with, you're halfway there. You're halfway there. And you want to make it so easy for them to make that commitment, whether it's to sign up for a consultation or purchase or get on your email list. So to answer your question, yeah, I actually ask people when they go to my website, I say, what was it? What made you pick up the phone and call me? And there are certain things on the website that support that. One of them is video that we can get into later. But the immediate trust is there. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like going in for a haircut and the person has, you know, someone who's kind of going to cut your hair and they haven't washed their hair. It's like, okay, wait, what's going on? And it also sends a message. Here's a big problem. You know, we're all small business owners and we wear many hats and we get busy. True. But if you don't care enough about your online presence, if you don't care about your business to realize how important it is and that it needs to be dressed and it needs to work well, then your prospects are going to wonder how you're going to treat their business. Are you going to take their business seriously, or are you too busy for me to give me the attention and time for my problems?
One of the hardest things that I've noticed in writing your website, writing the scripts for your advertising, whatever it may be, is to fully understand your customer base, right? What are some, and you hinted at it briefly, but what are some like tips that you'd recommend to people to fully encompass themselves into the customer experience and journey? And you know, have you experienced some wording or phrases that have worked well to kind of explain what it is that you do?
Absolutely. So the biggest faux pas that we see a lot is making it about the business and about, you know, we started our business in 1972. We have, you know, 6 locations. The prospect doesn't give a rat's ass. They really don't. I mean, it used to be like that about 15 years ago. It was pretty impressive. It's like been in business for 100 years, right? But that doesn't sell anymore. People don't care. They don't care. So they want you to talk to them immediately and make it about them. One good example, I'll talk about the homepage, but a big, easy change that you can do on your about page is you'll see people start talking about, you know, the founder started the business because of this, and we have a team, you know, that's made of 10 people and all this stuff. And then at the bottom, they say, if you are suffering from this and you need our help, go ahead and switch those paragraphs and talk about their issues right away. And here's another secret. Talk to your clients and ask them, what was it? What did they bring to you? What was their keeping them up at night? And what were they looking for? And then how did you solve their problem? It's amazing. You just take the words from your current clients of what their problem was and how you solved it and use those exact words.
Yeah.
Don't try to make it up, because they're the ones that are working with you, and they're working with you for a reason. And then the other thing I do is I ask clients, like, what is it? I mean, because there's 1,000,001 agencies out there. Like, what is it that you love about working with us? You'd be surprised how many people will share with you and the words they use. What we had a client that said, you guys are so responsive that you're mind readers. Right. And I was like, oh, that's great. And I played with it. Right. I said, oh, we're mind readers. We tell you what you need before you even know you need it. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can play with that. You can play with that. The other thing too is showing results. Right. It still is really helpful to have case studies on your website, show statistics, pull out like, do you want to learn how we double traffic for so-and-so industry? You know, use an example of a customer that you would work with, and not just your words, have those words coming from your client, like a video testimonial, having screenshots of their Google Analytics or, you know, written testimonial if you can't get a video testimonial.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, these are all basics, you know, these are all things that people know they need to do.
But right? They don't.
But they don't
always know. That's the problem.
Exactly. So how do you, and I've fallen into this trap too. So I just want to make it known to the people listening that I'm guilty at this as well. And everybody is, but how do you make sure you make it a priority to stand out from your competition? Because that's what you're doing, you know, by making that case study and writing that testimonial and whatever it may be, that's you're separating yourself from your competition. So how are you able to hold your team and yourself accountable to make sure that you constantly are aware of these things?
It's part of your vision and your mission. It's part of your workflow and your processes. I have built into my process along whenever we're working with a client, when do we ask for testimonials? When do we ask for reviews online? After we offboard, I have a process of how to write a case study and show examples. It can't be in your head. It has to be in writing. It has to be in your everyday workflow. And then just revisiting it with your team is super. You've got to get passionate about it, right? You've got to let them know, here is my vision. I want, when people think about our business, I want them to use these words. I want them to have this experience, because we all assume that everyone is in our head and we need to be reminded, right? So tip is to make sure it's in writing, you know, and then also schedule it in your workflow when you're dealing with clients. And also, you know, even quarterly, I take quarterly audits of my website and I'll go through it. And then I'll ask a few friends and clients to look at it from a different perspective based on new technology and new, because the consumer is changing every day. It's not just technology. I mean, we all know technology is moving really fast, but consumer behavior and how they buy and how they trust you changes every day.
If we were to explain to the people listening some takeaways that they could apply to their business today and leave with at the end of this conversation, is there a couple of bullet points that you can just say, like, do this, do that, and do that? Yeah. Could you just give us like some bullet points of these are the things that you need to do right now in order to stand out from your competition? And you can just, like, again, bullet points, doesn't have to be long, just brief, as brief or as long as you'd like.
Yeah. So some of them might be more obvious than others, but still to this day, 2018, I'm still surprised that people aren't doing it. So if you're a consultant or service business, make it easy for me to book a consultation, because again, people are searching or browsing your website at different times of the day and no one waits for emails responses anymore. And that goes for, you could add a live chat or a messenger bot on your website. Essentially what I'm saying is be where they are at the right time, right? Yeah. So when they're ready to buy, you're there. The second thing I'll say is video. We all know video converts. I've got proof on my site. I'd say about 90% of people tell me the reason they pick up the phone and call me is because they've seen my videos. So they do convert, and the statistics show that they convert 40% higher because it's so easy to display your trust and your expertise. I have tons of video that I put on services pages and in my blog and on my homepage. And if you're not a person that wants to be in front of the camera, do screencasts, teach things, show products, show, you know, your screen. You don't even have to be on there. And then you can share it on social media. The other thing I would say is businesses are guilty of piling everything that they do onto the homepage, and people end up leaving and not doing anything, right? So I would just experiment with this and just have one call to action. What do you want me to do? Oh, I want you to watch my video. I want you to make an appointment. I want you to read this article. I want too much. I would say a maximum of two calls to action. And then also look at where your visitors are coming from. Google Analytics can help you with that. So are they on mobile mostly? Are you like a restaurant or are people looking at your website on desktop? So I do a lot of conversion optimization. So if you are a business that gets most of your prospects on desktop, people don't actually scroll as much as they do as they would on their phone. So just little things like that. Does that answer your question?
It totally does. But I mean, you mentioned live chat and things of that nature. Is there ever a time where there's too much access?
Yeah, I get that pushback sometimes. If you set it up to be a conversation, like for example, you know, when my friend in Florida calls me at 10 o'clock at night, I don't want to pick up the phone, right? Totally. but I will text her and say, hey, I'll call you tomorrow. So I guess you do need boundaries, but you need to make it about the consumer. You need to make it about them. So I've seen great examples of live chat where, yes, I need the answer right now, but I have to be realistic. They're offline. So they'll send me an email or they'll send me to an FAQ. You're just going to be helpful, right? You're not going to end the conversation. That's the main point, is continue the conversation.
Yeah, I understand. And it's great advice. There's a couple of things that I've learned just by doing research. And I find that what you're doing for your company and your team, you have an amazing team page of how in-depth you are about your team, what they do, how many laptops, I even say how many laptops people have, how many country people have traveled to. What is it like working with a team as you have currently? And what is that able to do for a business, and how is it allowing you to grow?
Well, what it's done for me is it's allowed me to go out and speak and spread my voice and message to a larger audience, and then have the team to back me up. So I just got a call from a client the other day who saw me speak in Reno, and she said, I didn't realize how powerful your team was. So, so I'm not just the salesperson. You know, have you ever experienced where like someone's really good at sales, they sell you this thing and then you get into it and it falls apart? It's
totally.
Yeah. We've all been there, right? It's like, yeah, oh, absolutely. It sounded so good. So, and my team is virtual because this is a creative space, and sure, it would be really cool to have an agency building, you know, and beanbag chairs and ping pong and all that. I mean, that would be fun, but I work with small businesses. I don't want them to have to pay for my overhead. And I want my team to work when they are most effective. So if they're mostly creative later in the day, then that's when they can work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I mean, that way to run and lead a team, from my experience, has been effective, but obviously there needs to be that hammer that eventually will be need to lay down, as long as they're respectful enough to understand that it's coming from its leader, you know?
Yeah. And the other thing I'll tell you is I am a huge proponent in making people step into their superpower. So even if I hired you to be my marketing manager, if you have a penchant for creating videos or writing or something else that you weren't hired for, but you are showing huge success in and have a propension for it, then I'm going to change your role around a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the other things that I found about you and your company is your hatred towards Comic Sans. So, which, you know, as design in a very similar industry, in the design world and branding world, I could attest to that. I agree with you. So, I think the post was something along the lines of Comic Sans is never an acceptable font.
No.
So is there anything else that isn't acceptable in marketing? It doesn't have to be fonts, but just as a whole, is there anything that you see that just we shouldn't be doing and we need to stop now?
Oh my gosh. Do you have another hour? So it's funny you should ask, because I started this video series a couple of years ago called Pia's Pet Peeves in Marketing, because I would see things and I'm like, what are they thinking? Mm-hmm. Right? What were they, you know, what were they smoking? I don't understand. And I look around like, am I the only one that's seeing this? Mm-hmm. So, not having a way to contact the business is a big pet peeve of mine, you know, making it super hard to contact them. Following, you know, someone who wants to be the Marie Forleo. I don't know if your audience knows her, but wanting to look exactly like the Marie Forleo brand instead, because that's just lazy, right? That's just lazy. Like, you just want to copy someone who's famous. You can be inspired by them, but please don't be a carbon copy. When people spam me in their email, so some of these people say it works really well, but, you know, daily emails. Like, I get hundreds of emails every day. I don't need your email every day. People that say, sign up for my newsletter. Whoever wants to sign up for a newsletter? No one.
Very true.
You know, let's see here. Selling too much, whether that's through email or on social media, it feels like you're selling 80% of the time, and it should be the opposite. It should be you're helping me 80% of the time, and you're selling to me 20% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
I could go on, Jonathan. I could go on.
Give me one more. Three. Three's a lucky number.
Saying that I don't do social media, I don't do video. And, you know, those business owners who dig their heels into the earth and say, I don't do this. Well, you are one person and your client does do those things and you need to embrace it because it's never going away.
And I think another thing that I hear a lot is a lot of people say that my customer base isn't using these platforms, and that can be true to some degree, but what is the best way that you can get out there? And I'll speak from our own perspective here at Penji. Is the one of the best ways that we've stood out was that constant social media push and news, even when it's not news. So it's like you make news up even when it's not really news. Like, for example, it could be like somebody just won a free taco for Taco Bell. And that's not news to most people. But somehow if you can spin it in a way where it is actually news and you make people care about it, it could do a lot of help for your business, right? Would you say that's in line?
Yeah, that's a great example. I just did something similar to that today. I went to a networking group and, you know, I don't have any new marketing tips for them or anything. And I said, well, there's a huge majority of people that are excited about Bohemian Rhapsody opening tonight, right? The older generation and the Queen lovers. So I basically did my pitch using only Queen songs.
Nice.
So I made up my own like trending event.
Nice.
And I tied it into my business. So it all comes down to creativity.
I love it. And as the chief imagination officer, I feel like I would expect nothing less, right?
Yep.
Well, Pia, thank you so much for being on the show. Can you tell a little bit more about how people can find you and learn more about your business?
Absolutely. I always welcome people to reach out to me on LinkedIn because I am a connector. I love, if you find someone in my sphere of, I don't know, what we're up to, 1,000 connections that you want to meet, I'd be happy to help you with that. Also, follow me on Facebook and, you know, hit me up on Instagram, and it's Fingerprint Marketing. That's across the board.
Very cool. Well, good stuff. And all the links will be in the show notes so people can check them out there. Pia, thank you again so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was super fun.
You've been listening to Blind Entrepreneurship, brought to you by Penji. Our guest this week was Pia Larson. The biggest takeaway for me was when Pia mentioned how you need a showstopper, which to Pia means that you are searching at around 10:30 at night, and the person was searching possibly for your potential service for over hours and has 100 tabs open. And then they stop to your website and think, holy crap, I need this. Okay, listeners, we will end with this. I am sending a worldwide challenge to those that are listening. This week, I'd like you to go out of your comfort zone and do something you know you need to do, but have been making excuses as to why you haven't done it yet. And when you do that one thing, tweet me at GrisbowskiJ or head over to TBE Show and drop a comment on this week's episode. You can find more about Pia and her company Fingerprint Marketing at fingerprintmarketing.com. And as for me, you can check out Penji at penji.co if you need on-demand graphic design support for your business. And head over to our podcast website, which is tbeshow.com. You can find our podcast on all major podcast networks like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and more. And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could tell a friend. Share it all over the interwebs. It's the only way that we can cure blindness in business. Go out there and execute your vision, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Today's podcast feature is Jeremy Ryan Slate from Create Your Own Life. On Create Your Own Life, Jeremy interviews the best in the world, from New York Times bestsellers to Super Bowl champs to billionaires. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can check out a new episode. Here's a quick glimpse of what you can expect from Create Your Own Life.
This is the Create Your Own Life show with the legendary David Meltzer.
I believe that at 21, that I believed I could do it myself. So I have two words next to my nightstand. It's radical humility. And so I believe that I could control my life, that I could make anything happen myself. And I have surrendered. I live a radically humble life and know that everything that I have has come through me. And my job is to connect to that which inspires me to live a life of humility, to be of service, and that, you know, I can't do anything without the help of others and the help of one.